This is KWVA Eugene.
Pepe! Dagli una spinta a quella gondola!
Da-di-ra-da, da-di-ra-da, da-di-ra-di-ra-da, da-di-ra-da.
Welcome to another self-indulgent episode of the Sunday Morning Hangover. I'm your host, the Reverend Mark Time, with you until noon, as always. Jam-packed show today. We're going to be celebrating Record Store Day. That was officially yesterday, but it's actually all weekend long. Had a great time yesterday out at CD World and also at Edo Burger. Edo Burger at Tiny Tavern's parking lot. Got some great food there, and they're open till late afternoon today. So who knows? Maybe I'll go by and get some lunch there later on. Also, Willamette Animal Guild celebrating their 10,000th spay over at the corner of 4th and Lawrence today at 1 o'clock at a place called Ravenwood. That's so cool because that's about, 2 million kitties that down the road that were not born, that are not going to be bothering you at night. What do we got on the show today? We have at 10:30, Mitra from the Carnival of Couture, which is coming up the 24th. And at 11 o'clock today, the Moyer Sisters live from Australia. Yes, by phone. Going to be calling the ladies. It'll be 6 o'clock in the morning their time, Monday morning. And to start out the show today, it's going to be basically the Mark Time story. Yes, I'm going to get so overindulgent here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, my life, how I got into records, how I got into music. It's going to be a monologue. We got a jam-packed show today. So happy Record Store Day, everybody. And grab that cup of coffee, sit back and relax, and listen to the Sunday Morning Hangover. Yeah, me, the Reverend Mark Time, born Mark Gunther, New Haven, Connecticut, in the 50s. How did I end up in Eugene? You know, I remember music from, as a young kid, my mom used to play Rose, used to play all those soundtracks, things like The King and I, Oklahoma, etc. She took me to see The Sound of Music, and we both cried. And she had a turntable upstairs in the hallway. And when I was about 6 or 7, I got to discover the family turntable. She had a lot of 78s and some 45s and some albums. The one 45 I got particularly interested in was Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Yeah, I played that over and over again. Another record I was obsessed with was Mammy by Al Jolson. She had the 78 on that. I played it until I broke it. Yeah, I was one of those 6 or 7 year old kids that played with the hi-fi and constantly broke the needle or broke the records. I didn't know any better. But the reason I'm telling you all this is because it's Record Store Day, Record Store Week, and I just want to kind of tell you about how I got into records, me, the Reverend Mark Time. Of course, you know, after a while, things went from 78 to 45, and the first 45, the first record I ever bought was Telstar by the Tornadoes. And, blew my mind. One of the second records I ever bought was a Four Seasons record. I believe it was Connie O. And so it goes. I got for my birthday or Christmas a little tiny transistor radio, which I used to put under my pillow and listen to at night, and hearing things like the Shoop Shoop song. And in those days, there was just one radio station in town, WAVZ, New Haven, Connecticut, and they had a top 60. And I was so excited when my brother Michael, at one point, won every record on the top 60. We went down to WAVZ, downtown New Haven, and picked up a huge crate of records, took them home, and played them. And that was the beginning of my record store, my record infatuation, so to speak. Of course, this, throughout the 60s, things were changing. And I got turned on to a radio station that was on the brand new FM dial. Yes, FM was a brand new thing. Kind of like it's a brand new thing around here, you know? Anyways, FM radio. And I heard WYBC in the late 60s playing songs like Inagata Vida, The Pusher, Cream. And I went out, and for Christmas, I got Fresh Cream for my birthday. I got the first Doors album for Christmas. And when I turned 16 years old, I got a double album by The Who called Tommy. And it just blew my mind. And so it goes. I started developing a record collection. I started stealing records from my brother Michael. He went off to college at one point, and I inherited his collection. We moved from West Haven to Milford, Connecticut, and that's when things kicked into high gear. And I lived across the street from a church, St. Agnes, which was later called St. Agnew's, but I digress. I met my good friend and still longtime best friend, Gary Malika, at church. I think we were both singing in the choir or something. Maybe we met out in the parking lot. But Gary had a bigger record collection than I did. And he was into guys like Robert Johnson and people like Paul Butterfield, people I'd never heard of. And I'd go over to his house and we'd hang around his room and just play records all day. After a while, when, you know, I got a car, we'd go out and we'd, you know, all we could do was just hunt for records all day long. We'd go to Woolworth's, Kresge's, we'd go to Granway, we'd go to King's, we'd go to Alexander's, and we'd look in the bargain bins, the cutout bins, for things that were, oh, you know, just yesterday's news. And we found great stuff for 49 cents. We found things like the Exception albums. I found the Rolling Stones, Satanic Majesty's holographic cover for $1.99 in a drugstore. I mean, we were obsessed. We ended up just patronizing all these record stores, just, you know, like Merle's and like Flad's in downtown Milford, Connecticut, and also a place called Cutler's out of New Haven, Connecticut. Totally obsessive, picking up all kinds of records. I just loved records. Well, you know, what happens is, you know, you meet a girl, you end up moving to California, which is what I did. We took a van cross country. And I had maybe 5 boxes of records in that van. I don't know why I was transporting records. And again, when I arrived in Berkeley, started, you know, working on my record collection. So, I don't want to bore you too much. I'm going to do this in chunks. Coming back, Reverend Mark Time and his record store experiences. Actually working in a record store. Woo-woo!
This lovely day will lengthen into evening. We'll say goodbye to all we ever had. Alone, where we have walked together, I'll remember April and be glad. Be content, you love me once in April. Your lips were warm, and love and spring were new. But I'm not afraid of autumn and her sorrow. I'll remember April and you. The fire will dwindle into glowing ashes, for flames and love live such a little while. I won't forget but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April, and I'll smile.
Yeah, I remember April by Julie London. We're listening to Billy May right now, a real scratchy record, celebrating Record Store Day here on The Hangover. And I was in the middle of telling you how I got to work in record stores. Well, I went to California. My friend Gary Molica went to Cleveland. He ended up working at a place called Record Rendezvous in Cleveland and meeting all kinds of people like Devo, Perubu, and all the pre-punk people. And he was working on sort of creating his own scene. He was on the radio. I'd come from radio, too. I was on WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut, throughout my college years in the early 70s before I moved to California. Ended up at KALX Berkeley in California and went to work for a real god-awful record chain called The Warehouse. The Warehouse was great. They fingerprinted and lie detector tested you in order for you to work there, even though it was like minimal wages. I graduated from The Warehouse in Oakland, California, where people would come in looking for the Grover Washington albums, and we were playing the Ramones and Iggy Pop. And people would look around going, what is going on here? Those were the early days. Punk rock, we ended up, I ended up at Rasputin Records. Now, a lot of you know about Rasputin's in Berkeley. They're a big chain now. That guy owns half of Telegraph Avenue. But Rasputin's, when I worked there, was the first store, which was about the size of this studio right here. It was like a long closet. And people would come in and introduce themselves, people like Jello Biafra, like Tim Yohannan, like many other future punk rockers in Berkeley, and we'd just talk about the scene. And lo and behold, my friends and I decided to start a band called The Jars. But we needed a keyboard player. So I called up my friend Gary Molica in Cleveland. He came out, and we formed The Jars with Gary Molica on keyboards, a.k.a. Gary Nervo. Now, Gary and I would hang out together in all the record stores and stuff and just carouse all over Berkeley. We would play a lot of gigs, and I ended up, because of my friend Mick, at a store called Rather Ripped Records. Now, Rather Ripped Records, to me, was like going to the toppermost of the poppermost. Rather Ripped Records was a store in the 70s that actually sold records that were manufactured in England. Now, nowadays on the net, you could find stuff all over the world. You could find world music everywhere. But at that time, you couldn't find world music. You couldn't get reggae records. You couldn't get imports unless you went to a special store. That store was Rather Ripped Records in Berkeley. The other one was Aquarius Records in San Francisco. And I worked at Rather Ripped for a few years. And boy, that was rocking. We had in stores. We had Patti Smith there. We had Bowie. We had Iggy. We had Perubu. We had The Police. We had all kinds of people coming and going. And we pushed the punk rock thing. Between myself, Ray Farrell, and Mick, we just pushed the whole punk rock thing until all of a sudden, the bigger stores like Tower, like Leopold's, and the other stores started carrying import records, import singles. And it was quite a big deal for that to happen, because that's how the whole DIY punk rock thing happened, was people putting out their own records in England, in America, in New York, in San Francisco. And that was the thing, pre-MP3s, pre-downloads, even before the cassette revolution, even before the CDs came out, there was 45s and records. And The Jars, we put out a couple of records. It cost like $500 for like 1,000 singles. It was awesome hearing our records on the radio. People were playing them off and on some of the college stations around the area. In fact, one club owner took the song Jar Wars and made it his theme song. But to me, just growing up and working in a record store in my young days was one of the best things in the world, because you got to hear the stuff first. You got to get it first. And you were sort of right there with your finger on the button. Of course, now you can just go on the net and be the first one to hear something. You don't have to go to a record store. But record stores in the 60s and 70s were real special. They were magical places. They were they were kind of like where culture and philosophy and thought would cross-pollinate, where people would get together and trade ideas, where things happened, where ideas happened. And that's my early record store experience. We'll talk about what happened after that, after a record by Captain Kangaroo.
Hey, fellas, there's a guy here who wants us to make a record.
Oh, what's no, that? Pardon me.
You know, that's the where Three you go Stooges. To a studio with microphones and you sing and they put you on a nice round piece of plastic.
I don't want to be on any piece of plastic, whether it's nice or not.
But, Curly Joe, you can make a lot of money that way.
So put me on a piece of plastic, then.
The studio is ready, gentlemen.
What are we supposed to do?
Well, first, each of you take those microphones.
Can I keep mine?
No, sir, you're to sing to it.
I don't want to sing. I want to see the plastic. But, Nitwit, you've got to sing to the microphone first.
Oh, rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop.
Lame brain. Hmm? You sing into it, not to it.
Oh. Hey, who are those guys in the corner?
Those guys are the band.
Well, wake them up. We're going to make a record.
I don't know, Mo. Let's try to find him.
You think that those guys in the band would have the brains to stop playing while we're looking for Curly Joe?
Hey, Mo, see if he's inside the drum.
Nope, he's not in there.
Curly Joe, where are you?
I'm lost in the plastic. I'm in the next groove. Catch me as I come around.
Let's try and catch up to him, Larry. Make the band play faster.
Okay, you guys, play faster. Here he comes around. See if I can get him. Oh, I almost had him.
Butterfingers, let me try. Oh, I missed him too.
I'm getting dizzy going round and round. Hurry up, fellas.
What are those scratches on your head, Curly Joe?
It's from the needle and it hurts.
Look out. Don't fall off the edge.
Hey, we're getting to the end of the record, Mo. What do we do?
Boys and girls, hey, if you turn the record over, you can get me out. We'll see you on the other side.
Careful. That's it. Don't hurt him with the needle.
People who are born in May dress their hearts in Sunday clothes. Though they're sometimes burned, they're unconcerned. Their love just grows and grows. People who are born in May, I've heard tell, should always try to search around until they found someone born in July. Strange how a distant star controls our destiny, and wonderful when it's happening to people like you and me. The people who are born in May need the folks born in July. And the folks born in July, like me, will always feel the need to be at home in their arms forevermore, thanking every star in the heavens for the people born in May.
Yeah, a little bit of Julie London, People Born in May. And before that, the Three Stooges with Cutting a Record. Just heard from my friend Vince, the magician. He was reminiscing about Cutlers. There used to be a spot where you could go in back and a guy would throw on a record for you. Those were the days when you could walk into a record store, people knew what you listened to, and they would say, hey, have you heard this? You might like this. And that's what we did at Rather Ripped Records in Berkeley. We would actually have salespeople out on the floor opening up records and playing them for people. Of course, those days are gone. Now it's just basically a cashier. But, you know, record stores were a cultural center. Well, after that, I got into the book business. I got into the courier business, moved back and forth a bunch of times, and sort of left my glorious days as a record clerk. But every year, you could see me selling records at the Eugene Record Convention. And that's a cool thing, too. You get to go down, schmooze, and every year around the end of January, Eugene Record Convention at the Hilton, it's a lot of fun, and you'll see me selling stuff there. I moved back and forth a few times, ended up back in San Francisco, and decided to head for Eugene, where I discovered some real cool record stores in Eugene. You got the House of Records. They're all right. They'll tell you about new things. They'll play stuff for you. You've got CD World, where I was yesterday, and they've got a lot of new vinyl releases, things coming out on vinyl, old and new, and as well as a nice little 25-cent 45 bin. You've got the Museum of Unfine Art, which is sort of a cultural center, sort of a leftover, a carryover of days when you could go in, talk about music, art, and create ideas. That's where the whole downtown post office revitalization program came from, was a conversation at the Museum of Unfine Art. That's why record stores are important, people. That's why we remember every time this year, National Record Store Day. If you get a chance, you might want to go out and look at one today, you know, because they're going to be like CD stores, like video stores, like a number of other great businesses that used to be around. Someday they may become a thing of the past. But there's nothing like taking a record, like this one I got in my hand. Wow, it only costs a quarter. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it and put it over on this turntable, and I'm going to play it. Because it's not an MP3. I'm not going to just dial it up and push a button. I'm taking a piece of plastic here. Here, listen. That's plastic. I'm going to put it on the record player. I'm going to put the needle on. And we're going to listen to Cinderella Rockefeller.
You're the lady, you're the lady that I love.
I'm the lady,
who? You're the lady, you're the lady that I love.
I'm the lady,
who? You're the little lady.
a few minutes, we have Mitra from the Carnival of Couture calling in to tell us about that event coming up next week. And I've got an addendum to my record store experience. Yes, my friend and I, Gary Malika, were in on starting a record store called Universal Records on Telegraph Avenue. And it was awesome. We had in stores with Susie and the Banshees and with Killing Joke and the Angry Samoans and all kinds of people. And Gary and I kind of, you know, we'd play records for people. This band called Fang would come in and shoplift. And it was a lot of fun. That was in 79, 80, 81 in the Berkeley, California area. Universal Records came and went real fast. I don't want to get into the details, but that was so awesome. What do we got coming up? Like I said, Captain Kangaroo is in here somewhere.
Though April showers may come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. So if it's raining, have no regrets, because it isn't raining rain, you know it's raining violets. And where you see clouds upon the hills, you soon will see crowds of daffodils. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song whenever April showers come along.
I have learned to smile when skies are gloomy. Smile no matter what my luck may bring. When I know that trouble's coming to me, here's the happy song I've learned to sing. Though April showers may come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May. So if it's raining, have no regrets, because it isn't raining rain, you know.
It's raining violets.
And where you see clouds upon the hills, you soon will see crowds of daffodils.
So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song whenever April showers come along.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline. Pablo's bank is fair, what a scene. Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hot set of real fire. In this way, Mr. K will change the world. The celebrating Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishop's Gate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the wings. Don't be late, Mrs. K and H. Assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course, Harry the Horse dances the waltz.
Hey, Mitra, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Yes, we're listening to Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite by a guy named Ian Ball with Cheap Trick. And we've got on the phone, Mitra, do you have a last name?
Chester.
Yeah, and you have a shop downtown, don't you?
Actually, I have a couple.
Yeah, you can tell me about them. It's okay, even though we're non-commercial, as long as you don't mention price or anything like that.
My stores are called Deluxe at 13th and Willamette and Kitsch at 10th and Willamette. And they're resale clothing in addition to locally designed clothing and vintage clothing and interesting things.
Yeah. I've been there before. You got some great stuff. And the reason you're calling in today is...
that's for me. The reason I'm calling in is because we are producing a big local designer fashion show this coming Saturday at the fairgrounds. And I just wanted to tell some people about it. It should be pretty cool. It's going to be at the Expo Halls on April 24th, Saturday. And there's two components to the show. One of them is a local designer bazaar, which will feature like 55 some odd local designers selling their goods that they've created and designed and manufactured. And there'll be a raffle and carnival-style entertainment by local people and food. And then that evening at 7:30, we're going to have our big fashion show that we do every year. And it features this year 30 local designers, and they create a line of clothing that will walk the runway and introduce it to the community in the way that they ideally see fit, you know, their own vision.
Wow, that's awesome. And do you have any special guest presenters or anybody like that this year?
Oh, yes, we do. last year and this year, we have Dawn Baby and Amelia Hart doing our MC job for the fashion show. And we have DJ Sean Call and Charles Sump doing the music. And there's just so many people involved in the show. It's a huge volunteer-run community event. It's produced by our two stores and also the Redo Parlor, which is owned by Laura Lee LaRue. And we basically have been doing this for 4 years. I think this will be the fifth show. But it's just so much fun, and we reel in all of this local talent. Some of the people that are designing in the show this year are like 14 years old or 18 or 16, you know. And also just anyone. We try to have it really easy to participate in and involve as many people that have an interest in this type of thing and, you know, put them out there to the community and show the community what they can do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, Eugene is the city for the arts and the outdoors and arts and music. And, you know, a lot of people say, ah, there's nothing going on downtown Eugene. But yours is a perfect example of something that's going on. The whole thing with fashion is so important to the whole equation of Eugene being the place it is. And this is such a great event. Let's remind everybody again. We're talking about, now I'm probably mispronouncing this. It's the Carnival of Couture?
Yeah, Carnival of Couture, the Parade of the Custom Made. And it features, the carnival is just kind of a general reference to the theme, or it doesn't mean everything is going to be carnival style in the show. I personally have been inspired by it for my line, but it's kind of, you know, it's a melee of different things going on. So in that respect, it's carnivalesque. And then our bazaar, we're titling the Sideshow Bazaar. And the Sideshow Bazaar, that's from 11 up until showtime, is free to the public. And it is completely family-friendly. There's going to be a kids' fashion show at 3 o'clock where we'll do an open call to all the kids that are in the facility at the time and anyone who's pre-made clothes for their kids to walk across the stage, put on some music. So we're trying to drag the youth in, and we're gonna have a craft table sponsored by Mecca, where kids and adults for that matter will be able to kind of like take some reused materials or use materials and create designs of their own.
Yeah, Mecca's awesome. I want to remind everybody about Mecca because they're up the top of Willamette at the train station. And what they do, they're the materials exchange center for the arts. And if you, before you go out and buy art supplies at like Walmart or anything, you might want to look at what Mecca has to offer. They have a lot of good stuff that's been recycled that's extremely cheap. So,
yeah, I love them. Every time I make it over there, I just am, like, blown away by the really interesting things that I can find over there.
Yeah, yeah. So you could check this out online. I shouldn't say check out because that's called a call to action. You may visit, if you want to, deluxefashionshop.com events blog, right?
And we also have a Facebook page for the Carnival of Couture fashion show that has some information about it, too.
Yeah, well, this is going to be so great. And so the main fashion show starts what time?
The main fashion show starts at 7:30, and you can purchase tickets pre-sale at Redo, Deluxe, and Kitsch, or they'll be available at the show. as well. And likely this coming week and find out the pricing of that.
I just had to hit the dump button on you. There are tickets for sale, yes. And
okay.
and where is this event again?
It's at the Lane County Fairgrounds Expo Halls number 2 and 3, where the Piccadilly Flea Market is usually taking place.
All right. Well, that's an awesome thing, because I remember when this happened last year, there was so much buzz about this event, and I saw a lot of pictures online. I saw things on Amelia's blog, and Dawn and Amelia, you might remember, used to have a show called The Girls Room here on KWVA. And when those two get together, it's awesome. I mean, it's just they're a mother and daughter, and I just love the banter that they put back and forth. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So exactly what is your role in this, Mitra?
Oh, I play several different roles. I am the producer, one of the producers of the show, and I do participate on the level of a designer. I always have a set of my own line of clothing in the show, which I will this year as well. And I'm also going to be doing part of the carnival-style entertainment during the Sideshow Bazaar. But that's something new for me, and I'm a little embarrassed and terrified, so I won't talk much more about it. And it's just like, you know, wrangling all the people together, because this event is huge in terms of what it takes to put on. I mean, we always have over 120 model volunteers from the community. This year we have like the 55 local designers doing the bazaar and 30, which some overlap, doing the show. And then we have a huge group of volunteers from the community that help us put this together, people volunteering to do design work for it and doing the web stuff and doing, getting sponsorships. We have a lot of local sponsors and businesses in the community that are helping us out. And, it's just amazing, like, how many people come together for the show and how much fun it is for everyone. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who's interested. And in the future, if anyone's interested in participating, they just need to come to one of the shops and find out, because it's really easy to participate on any level.
All right. One more time. We're going to just remind everybody. It's called the Carnival of Couture, and it's on the 24th, right?
Yes, it's Saturday, April 24th, and the Sideshow Bazaar is from 11 in the morning until the show, and the show is at 7:30.
And that's on the fairgrounds, correct?
Yes, Lane County Fairgrounds Expo Halls 2 and 3. Last year, and we've done it in the Wheeler Pavilion, but this year it will not be there. We'll be doing two rooms in the Expo Halls.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the air and talking about this. And I didn't want to drag you down here. I'd rather have you do this in your pajamas. So.
I'm not in my pajamas, for the record, but thank you.
Hold on a second. I've got to ask you this question. What are you wearing?
today is my day off, and I'm just wearing some jeans and a T-shirt today.
That's disappointing. I thought you were going to be telling me about this astounding outfit that you had on, you being the czar of fashion in town here, you know?
Well, I try to keep astounding outfits for the days that I was up till, I think, 3 in the morning doing some work on my design, so I'm just like, okay.
Well, I'm sure whatever you're wearing on Saturday is going to be awesome, and I'll definitely try to be there. Thank you very much, Mitra, for coming on to the Sunday Morning Hangover radio show and discussing all your projects.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, we're going to play some more bad records, everybody, so here we go.
Ship, and here's what they had to say. Every night I think about going downtown and leaving you all alone. I wonder sometimes what's going through my mind, the reason I can't stay home. 'Cause your fairness and your easiness are all I ever see. So I'm going downtown where it's always loud. I'm going to lose myself in the downtown crowd so I can find what's gnawing at me. No, it can't be money that I'm looking for, since I've overcome all my greed. I wonder sometimes if there's a woman on my mind, though you fill every need. But your fairness and your easiness just brings out something wrong in me. So I'm going downtown where it's always loud. I'm gonna lose myself in the downtown crowd so I can find what's gnawing at me. Every time I think about telling you that there's really something bothering me, or you come along with a cake you just baked, a surprise meant just for me. See, such fairness and such easiness just brings out something not quite right. in me. So I'm going downtown where it's always loud. I'm gonna lose myself in the downtown crowd so I can finally find what's gnawing at me. What's gnawing at me?
Wow, what a mess. That was a record I picked up at CD World yesterday. By the way, in honor of Record Store Day, CD World will have Xene from X at 5 o'clock today. Let me tell you about that record. If I could get it off the turntable. On Tetragrammaton, What's Gnawing at Me, a Biff Rose song, sung by Pat Boone. This is 1968, produced by Jerry Yester and Zal Yanofsky, two of the guys from the Lovin' Spoonful. What's Gnawing at Me. Before that, we heard the Blues Image. I picked that up cheap yesterday, and that was Ride, Captain Ride. You're listening to a Sunday Morning Hangover. You know, in 10 minutes, I'm going to be calling a group from Australia, the Moyer Sisters, who I was obsessed with back in the days of Rather Ripped Records. And speaking of which, gentleman called in and talked about the first time he heard punk rock was at a record store. And when you have music like that, revolutionary new music, you're not going to hear it on the radio. You're going to hear it at the record store. That's why we're celebrating Record Store Day today here on The Hangover. Thanks for reminding me. Anyways, the Moyer Sisters from Australia. I've got some tracks by them coming up, as well as a live interview with them in Melbourne, Australia, where it'll be 6 o'clock in the morning their time. I sure hope they're awake. What do I have coming up for you? I have nothing. I'm going to take this record. This record I got, it's a nice picture sleeve. I'm going to put it on and put this needle on. You're going to hate this, but I love this record. Here you go.
I don't get time out anymore. Oh. still smiling. No many years can erase that it was you.
We're listening to Margot Moyer's ingenious redo of the Moyer Sisters' Good Morning, How Are You record, which I'll be playing shortly here on the Sunday Morning Hangover. Yes, that's from 1996 from Margot Moyer's Strong and Mighty. I've got a couple of messages. We're going to play some Moyer Sisters. We're going to try to get them on the phone. What do you think about that? In Australia, Australia.